pleasure, my dear brothers and sisters, that I now call upon our brother John Walker from Milne's Bridge to give to us the words of exhortation.
My beloved brethren and sisters in Solihull, it was on that very quiet and peaceful evening when Jesus, being wearied with his journey, drew nigh to Sychar in Samaria. And he rested on the wayside by the well that was in the parcel of ground that was called Jacob's Well. You remember that the woman came to him and of the conversation that ensued. And as a result of those many things which this man told her, right from the beginning of things, perceiving that this man was indeed a prophet, she sought to resolve a problem that for a long time had disturbed the Samaritans. They were living under the shadow of that hill Gerizim, and it had been told them for a long time that in this mountain should they go to worship the Lord their God. But the Jews, with their normal procedure of going forward to Jerusalem in the various seasons of the year to worship, had quite a different order of life. And this woman of Samaria asked him and said, "Master, our fathers say that in this mountain we should worship. But the Jews, ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father, but the hour cometh when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." Wherever, Lord, thy people meet, there they behold the mercy seat. Where'er they seek thee, thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. The time came when, in the normal development of things, those disciples were scattered abroad, and names familiar in these letters that we have in the later portion of our word, letters went to this ecclesia and to that and the other. And now in these later days of Gentile times, in an area which has played such a prominent part in the development of the truth in these later times, it is our unspeakable privilege to send forth the gospel message in this borough of Solihull. The word of God to go forth to those yet in darkness. What indeed a privilege it is, and how obviously the Lord hath blessed. But with privileges, there are responsibilities. We have a message to give forth, and above all else, it must be a clear, clarion message that goes forth. For if the trumpet shall send forth an uncertain sound, who indeed will prepare himself for the battle? Therefore, brethren and sisters, it behoves us to make sure that those who are outside these walls are in the days to come, the days that remain, to hear the gospel message. It behoves us that we shall make sure that we hold fast to that doctrine, that we shall make sure that the message that we send forth is based solely upon the word of truth. I wonder, you know, what it must have been like in Smyrna when they met together for the first time, when they had the opportunity of remembering their Lord for the first time, because Smyrna was just as real a place as Solihull is. And for a long time all went well, until you remember the message came to them that they had those amongst them who were accepting this point of view and that and the other. And if I believe that this is our first call in these closing days, we've a wonderful message to give to the people outside. Let's make sure that it is based firmly and soundly upon that faith once for all delivered to the saints. You know the reason why we have had in these latter days to seek out afresh the old truths. It was because the Smyrnians and those others that made up their lives, those who met, as we have met now, to remember the Lord. They were on one occasion and on another prepared to let this interfere with the pure worship in spirit and in truth. And the time came when you couldn't find that truth that had been given by Jesus and the apostles. There's a lovely incident, you know, that takes place at the beginning of the wilderness journey, when Moses goes down to see his father-in-law. He recognizes the position in which they find themselves. They're in the land and they were going to be left behind. And Moses offers that invitation that it's our privilege to offer to those people in this borough from now on. Come thou with us, said Moses, and we will do thee good. For we are going to a land of which the Lord has said, I will give it to thee. And we have that same invitation to offer to those outside. We know we have the truth. There's no doubt about that, brothers and sisters. It isn't a matter of conceit. It is a matter of fact. And as we have been strengthened day by day in the reading of his word, we know that these things whereof we speak are true. And with that knowledge, we can go and invite those outside to come along with us. For we will do thee good. And so, brothers and sisters, not only have we the opportunity of speaking to those outside, but we have the opportunity of strengthening ourselves, in the first case, in the Word. Of speaking to one another as we meet in our various classes. And I'm well reminded of something that our dear brother Norcross of Stockport often used to say. That the pulse of an ecclesia was best tested when you looked in at the Bible. And I would beseech you, brethren and sisters, as you seek to form a part of this ecclesia here, never to forget the opportunities that we have of communal study of God's Word. I know, and I'm the first to accept the fact that we can get too academic if we aren't careful. We can make it look as though this is too much of a matter of study. But let's realize this fact, that unless we are firm and sound on the doctrine, we shall never develop as a people separate unto the Lord our God. It's when we realize that our basis of faith is different that we accept the fact that our lives must be different. And so, brothers and sisters, we have an opportunity of partaking in our communal study together. And it's something that we can all do. It's something that the simplest of us can do. A word in season. It helps such a lot. Another point of view. A problem that's arisen in your life. It can so often help and strengthen. Let us therefore make sure that not only are we never missing from that proclamation of the gospel, that testimony that's given, but let's make sure that as far as ever possible we seek to meet together as often as we can in our studies around His Word. But there is the third phase, a phase which I believe is all important. In this ecclesial life, we have a place, as we have been reminded in our prayer, to which we might come with all the problems of life. And that is essentially so when we meet, as we have done this morning, around the memorial table. I often thought, as we have been travelling about the country, that life is very like a journey. You're travelling along, and at one moment you're passing through beautiful country, the greenery of fields and of trees. There seems to be a loveliness about it. Everything in the garden seems beautiful. And quickly, you pass from that into the drab sequence of tenement and of darkness and smog and shadow. And life's very much like that in the changes which take place. Perhaps at one moment the road is straight and you're making good progress, and there looks to be nothing that will stop or halt. And in a flash, perhaps a tire gives way. Perhaps an animal crosses the road. And in a flash, that progress that was being made without halting is brought to a sudden end. And sometimes you know the road is straight, but the old car's been on it for a long time, and much as it would like to make much more progress, it's limited by increasing age. How often have we met those in our meeting who would like to do so much more and feel the urge still, but the limitations of the flesh hold them back? And sometimes it looks as though we just can't go any further. It looks as though the obstacles in the road in front of us just won't let us pass. And sometimes we're tempted to go down the by road and by the side road because it looks rather tempting. There seems to be something much more intriguing on either side. But it's a question of going straight on, of realizing that He has said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." And I feel, brethren and sisters, that with all the problems that go together to make up our life, and none of us are without those problems, we may not wear them on our shoulder. We may have them very deep down in our hearts, but they're there. And I believe that this is the place to which we can come and get a tremendous help from the communion of our brethren and sisters and the communion of Him who went before us. I believe that this is a place to which we could come as Hannah went of old, with her difficulties, and in quietness and in silence, unburden her soul to the Lord. And I'm always distressed when I feel that at the end of our memorial service, one has a feeling as, well, just how have we been helped? I know that it's said that we get out of these services what we put into them. But there is a great responsibility upon those who are called upon here in this place to minister the word, and especially to give the exhortation. It is the easiest matter to come and speak in an unknown tongue, not in a foreign tongue, but in an unknown tongue. And the apostle said, I would rather speak five words and be understood by those who hear, that they may be helped, than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. I believe that the help that we get here Sunday by Sunday is something that's got to help us when we go forth on Monday and on Tuesday. We're not being drawn here as academicians. We're not here as people who seek to know the jot and tittle of the law, except insofar that it will help us in our walk. There's more and more need for that love, that help that we might have one to another. We're not asked to show our erudite attainments. We're not asked to come and discourse on things high. We're asked to help one another in the road that leads to Zion. I know that he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But we can help one another so much because we come together hungry and want feeding. We come naked and want clothing. I was in prison and ye came to see me. Lord, when saw we thee hungry and naked and in prison? Inasmuch as ye have done it to the least of one of these. And our ecclesial makeup contains so many of the least of one of these. I think sometimes that we are so much moved by the necessity of preaching the gospel to those yet in darkness that we forget those who are so near to us and are so much wanting our help and our comfort. The rich man in the parable of the rich man Lazarus went forth many days to do the good he thought fit, and went straight past the beggar man that was there, close to him, and probably never even recognized him. You know the lesson that we have in that parable. And so it is, brothers and sisters, that we have an opportunity in this ecclesial community of doing unto the least, even as unto him. But you know, all these arrangements are dependent upon a smooth working together. There will never go forth a clarion sound unless there is a unity amongst those who seek to make those arrangements. There will never be a peacefulness to which those in difficulty in life can come and seek help, unless there is a peacefulness amongst those who seek to make those arrangements. And we have a great responsibility, those of you who seek to make those arrangements for the smooth working. And as we've just been singing together in that hymn, there's room enough for all. Yes, there's a job for everyone, I do believe sincerely that. But let's make sure that the job that we seek to do is the job for which we're fitted. And if we're not fitted to come and do some platform duty, then brothers and sisters, let's accept that and find the job that there is there. Because I believe that no one will be allowed to sit quietly in an ecclesia if he has the ability. I believe that God will make use of everyone that has a work. But let's make sure that we don't do anything here that we wouldn't tolerate at home. Let's make sure that in the arrangements, in the furnishings, in whatever it might be, that we'll tolerate nothing that we wouldn't do at home. David looked round and said, and thought of the palace in which he lived, and said, "Behold, the ark of the Lord dwelleth in tents." And he decided that he'd make a place suitable for the ark of the Lord. And I think it is well that the minds of the brethren and sisters have been moved that a place very suitable should be erected for the worship of God. I see no virtue in seeking to worship God in some of the places that we go to. It may well be that that is the best that can be done. But I believe that a very good guide is that we should tolerate nothing that we wouldn't have at home. Meeting together to worship God in surroundings which I think can best be described as dignified simplicity. We know the natural way in which we've gone right away from the ornamentation which we have in surrounding places of worship, but dignified simplicity is indeed the basis of our association together. And the other basic principle is that we should never let a sincere appreciation of the advancement of the truth, we should never let the promotion of the glory of its divine author take the place. We should always let them be first in our arrangements. Our own notions, our own ambitions should be subjected at all times to the zealous advancement of God's word and the glory of his name. If we can let those be first, then we can't help but prosper. If we can stand fast in the one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, the Lord is bound to bless that which has been begun here. Let the Lord build a house, and then there's no laboring in vain if we have our eyes single to his purpose. It's so easy for this man of the flesh to want to come to the top. If only we could keep this spirit that we've got now all the time. But how difficult that is. We were reading during the week of the glories associated with the first meeting in the temple when Solomon went there, and of the beautiful prayer that was issued then. And we were reading today of the way in which they took those things away to Babylon, to allow Darius later, to allow the king later on to bring forth those things which were in the temple. It's a lesson to us, brethren and sisters. And that's why when we come back here week by week, we can remember him that's done so much for us. And it is very coming back here to this room where it started here on this 18th day of August. This coming back again, which will help us so much to try and maintain the enthusiasm that we have now, to try and maintain the zealousness with which this arrangement has started, so that we might be amongst those of which the Master has been speaking in that chapter which we have read from Mark. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. A lovely beginning has been made. It's a question of continuing until it be thoroughly finished. And I wonder, therefore, if the word of exhortation might close then with a word of prayer. O Lord God, when thou givest to thy servants to endeavor any great matter, grant us also to know that it is not the beginning, but the continuing of the same unto the end, until it be thoroughly finished, which yieldeth the true glory, through him who for the finishing of thy work lay down his life, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen.